Leon just smiling, just maybe glad. He looked like some people look forward for their baptism with anticipation. He is looking forward for his dedication. Amen. Well, today is going to be, the sun is beginning to come out, and we are thankful for that. And may God give us sun from here until all the way tomorrow. We certainly need the sunshine, and we have service today. You know, the funeral service is here tomorrow. Our precious brother Carl D'Souza, minister of the gospel, who have completed his earthly journey and gone on to his eternal destination. We are so grateful that, you know, we knew him and even have the privilege to preach his funeral service tomorrow here. And we know it's going to be quite a big event because of he's also a public servant and well known, and then also the circumstances under which, you know, he had to leave this world, being slain, being the target of an assassin's bullet, and, you know, under great controversy in his workplace and these things. And because he refused to be pressured, he refused to compromise, and he just stood steadfastly in what he believed and stood for as a minister of the gospel, at his post of duty out there where he worked and earned a living for his family. And we know there's going to be quite a cross-section of people here tomorrow. We are just praying and trusting God will help us. And the service is at 10 a.m. in the morning, sharp. And I think their people is going to be down here. They leave up there at 8, so they're going to be down here maybe 8:40 or 8:30. And so they're looking forward to we anticipate close to maybe 3,000-4,000 people, you know, because tomorrow is also a holiday, Eid, and, you know, I guess unless somebody's not a Muslim, you know, they are going to be here. Most of the people who in the message would have liked to be, they don't have to work and so on, so you can expect a turnout that will be very large. And we spoke to you on Friday about the sacrifice we'd have to make here and the adjustments, and so I'll talk to you a little more after I get you off your feet. But just for word of prayer and the reading of the scriptures. Father, as we are about to focus our attention now upon the word of God that we read and attempt to speak out of today, for today's service, believing, O God, that it's not within man to direct his own steps, but the footsteps of a good man is the order of the Lord. And as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And you said the Spirit of truth will come to lead us and to guide us into all truth, and how we recognize our insufficiency and have need and depend upon you for that divine leadership you promise. For surely, O God, in this dark hour, you have sent the light unto us, and your word is a lamp unto our feet, is a light unto our pathway. We pray that your Spirit would be gracious, knowing how undeserving and how, Lord, we are not even worthy to make a claim for these things, but we just ask in your favor, Father, that you would shine your light in our hearts and you would let us see and know how to go, because these are treacherous times, these dark times, and we want, Lord God, to follow your Holy Spirit. Sometimes you pass us in places in the world, Lord, and we don't know why we are going there and what is happening, and sometimes we are so insensitive to discern the ways of your Spirit. But Lord Jesus, we just want to have humble hearts, Lord, and desire the things of God, that your Spirit, Lord, can see that desire, that intense desire, Lord, within our hearts to follow you. As David said, my soul followeth hard after you. Knowing, O God, Moses, who followed this great leader of eternal life, and when he forsook the world and the pleasure of this world and the treasure of this world and the position, the fame, and all these things that he might take, the word of the Lord despised few. He himself said, Lord, I will not go up except you don't go with me. To find at the end, 1400 years after, he was still following you, appeared to you on Mount Transfiguration, dear God. And so we realize if he could have those results and he could have that understanding and he could, Lord God, be willing to follow you, and then we see the results of what it is to follow you, Lord. Lord, all through life's journey, even though we have to give up great things and things that sometimes we might seem crazy and foolish to lay aside, to take the low place, Dear God, we are praying, Father, that these things, the scriptures, give our examples, would be influence our lives. And dear God, we would, Lord, know you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that we too can have the same kind of results. So Lord, even this morning, at this junction time, we are asking, lead us on, Lord. Precious Lord, take our hands and lead us on. Oh God, through the storm, through the night, lead us on, Father, till the light. He says, the path of the just shines unto a perfect day. When the day dawn and the day star rise in our hearts. And so we take great heed to this more sure word of prophecy. Lord, have your way in this service. Bless each and every one. Meet every need in our midst. Solve every problem. God, heal every sick. Deliver every captive. Give strength to the weak. Be mindful. How could a man stand here, Father, no matter what ability he might have, to attempt to think that he can even speak something among a people so large and so great and their needs so diverse? Surely he'd just be ambitious and vain in his mind. But, oh God, I come in humility, confess my insufficiency, Father. Lord, let the mind that was in Christ be here. And God, may you give me a mouth and give me wisdom like the learned to speak a word in season. That the word can minister nourishment to build up and strengthen your people. And Lord God, your divine intelligence can open the way and lead us. Lord, in the days to come, we look back and say, look at the grace of God. He just knew what we had need of. He just knew how to forewarn us. He just knew how to prepare us before things came. And Lord God, we would desire that, Father. And so we commit all these things in their mighty hands. Thank you in advance. Remembering all these, Lord, out in Suriname and Guyana, Grenada, Tobago, St. Vincent, Lord God, Dominica, where the brothers are right now, and everywhere, Father. Lord, at the little flock tabernacle especially, pastor not being there today, and the saints gathering this interval. Lord, a crucial time. If you think of the disciples, Lord, when they didn't know what had become of you, and they saw you crucified, slain, and your cold, stiff, dead body wrapped in that linen cloth and put in that tomb, they gathered so disillusioned, Lord. They were so, Lord, confused and was wondering what meaneth all these things. Father, I pray this time, the same way you did for your disciples, you came around and you did something for them. You said, why do thoughts arise in your heart? He says, me myself. Oh God, handle me, and you know to take the fears and calm these things. May you do the same for them, Father. I remember, oh God, how you took those scriptures and opened our understanding in our dark times, Father. Lord, you can still do the same for them, we pray. And Lord Jesus, may you just bless you people richly everywhere around this world as we see the dark, evil times that lay ahead for us. Guide us, Lord. We'll know how to approach this hour and how, Lord God, to travel this road. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask these mercies. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 19. Deuteronomy 19, verse 10. That innocent blood be not shed in thy land. God has given them a series of laws and ordinances and different things here, instructions. Deuteronomy itself means two laws. That innocent blood be not shed in thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and so blood be upon thee. It's strange how God can, even by giving a law and giving instruction, reveal his thoughts and his mind. Who would have known that this in God's sight would defile a land? But God, in giving the law, let them even know that when innocent blood is shed, the land becomes defiled. But if any man hate his neighbor and lie in wait for him and rise up against him and smite him mortally that he die and fleeth into one of these cities, then the elders of his city shall send and fetch him thence and deliver him into the hand of the avenger of blood that he may die. Thine eyes shall not pity him, but thou shalt put away the guilt of innocent blood from Israel. that it may go well with thee. That's a verse that needs understanding, that 13th verse. Then I shall not pity him. It don't mean hate the person or want to express your rage on them. It don't mean that. But thou shalt put away the guilt of innocent blood from Israel. It is showing you the responsibility you have to apply the word in dealing with the crime so that the land will not become polluted and the judgment will not be on all the people. See, sometimes people like to evade responsibility. But in a court of law, somebody has to try a matter. Somebody has to find the criminal offense and the way it was done, and then see where the responsibility for the crime lies, and then have to take it upon themselves to execute a righteous sentence of judgment. It's a judicial matter because God is a savior and he's a judge. You catch that? So sometimes you may see something done and you may have to go and tell a brother, you are wrong, sister, you are wrong. That is not going to do it. And you don't want to do that. You want to evade and you want somebody else to do that. Because you don't want to offend. You are still immature and not conditioned and ready for the place to accept responsibility of judgment and understand what it means to be one who possesses the life of Christ, which is the life of the lion and the life of the lamb. He is both lion and lamb. He is both redeemer and judge. And I want you to notice the day of vengeance, the second part of that prophecy. The acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance, the bride have to take that part. That's a quote. The identified masterpiece of God. She has to come and take that last part to preach to the lost. That's a judicial function. That's not just, boy, we are power to preach to the lost. No. That's a judicial function. You have to have a judicial mind. You have to recognize that we have to stand now in his stead, the saints. Know ye not that the saints shall judge the earth? Paul to the Corinthian church, you have a man with wisdom among you to judge the matter? See? So judgment is a thing that requires experience, maturity, wisdom, responsibility. You have to judge yourself. Otherwise, you will be judged, the Bible says. So you know, you are judged because you don't judge yourself. So your examination of yourself have to be very clinical, have to be very surgical, have to be without even favor for your own self. You have to know your flesh is a deceiver. You have to know your flesh, in your flesh dwelleth no good thing. You have to know your flesh war against the spirit. And so you have to come to the place where you can mortify the deeds of the flesh. And put judgment in your flesh through fasting, through prayer, through applying the word in your life. To be a Christian. But if any man hit his neighbor and lie in wait and rise up and smite him, see? And flit into one of these cities, then the elders of that city shall send and fetch him thence and deliver him into the hand of the avenger of blood that he may die. Then I shall not pity him, but thou shalt put away the guilt of innocent blood from Israel, that it may go well with thee. Apply that in your own life. Apply that in this church. Apply that in this nation, that it may go well with thee. If it's not put away, it can't go well with thee. You have to take that responsibility and apply that word and bring judgment, that it may go well with thee. May the Lord bless you in this way, may we see. Deuteronomy 21. I'm taking for a title this morning, The Age of Inquisition. I was speaking last week on the evil counselors behind the White House throne and a repeat performance of all diabolical cunning and cruelty, showing you that the spirit of Inquisition has been loosed. They are anointed to bring on a system, what we call this squeeze, what we call persecution, what we call taking away your rights, and you can't preach except you belong to the royal council. That's the spirit of inquisition. That's been loose. That's why all these laws have been called for. That's what we are walking into. That's the hour going to come. You'll stand before men, deliver before councils. Is that said in the Bible? But don't take no thought what shall sin at hour. It wouldn't be you that speak. Stephen, dear, Peter and all them was delivered before the Sanhedrin council. Is that right? What for? For their testimony. For their doctrine. For their faith. They beat them and say, don't preach in that man's name no more. And then they put them in prison. And they killed James and was going to kill Peter. And the saints prayed and the Holy Spirit came down. Opened the prison door. Loose him from the chains. And what did he say? Go back in the very temple and preach them words again. Strange way that God will lead people sometimes. Is that right? Then Paul say, in the way that is called heresy, because they were seen as heretics, having heresy. He said, but so do I worship the God of my fathers. Deuteronomy 21. This is the inquest for the slain. Now in this, I'm taking this in a kind of twofold way, speaking about the age of inquisition. Man is setting up the system of inquisition. But God is an inquisitor also, and he makes inquests, and he also has an inquisition in this age. Can you catch that? He also has an inquisition, an inquiry, an investigation. When we talk about the investigation judgment, that's inquisition. Why is he investigating? Because a crime has been committed. Why was there an indictment? Because Jesus Christ has been crucified a second time. The blood is upon the hands of this generation. Is that right? That's right. And he has to make investigation. He has to make inquisition. He has to bring it to a trial. He has to bring it to a sentence. It has to be a righteous execution of judgment. God just can't destroy this generation without a trial. The first man that was slain in the Bible, God had an inquest. God had an investigation. God had a trial. God had a sentencing. God had a pronouncement of judgment. And when God does something the first time, you have to do that every time. Is that right? So these are laws. I'm taking these laws here because the laws in the Bible, just like the prophecies, just like the shadows, just like the types, just like the symbols, just like the parables, it all reveals Christ. He is the principal theme of the entire Bible. From Genesis to Revelation reveals one person, Jesus Christ. If you read the scripture and you don't see Christ, go back and read it, you miss it somewhere. So that means if you read these things in Deuteronomy and you're not seeing Jesus, you're missing something. What are we seeing? An inquest. A cleansing of the land by blood. What defiled the land in the beginning? An innocent one was slain. First time human blood was shed. Is that right? That's right. Then we find that when God had to cleanse the earth, in the days of Noah, he cleansed the whole earth and bring it back and start over like the beginning with one man, Noah, and his family. Is that right? And then that fall again. And then Jesus Christ had to come and cleanse the earth again by his blood. Is that right? Sure. And in the last days, he had the earth filled with violence like in the days of Noah, like in the days of Sodom. And this time he's going to cleanse it by fire in the end time. And you watch and see this pattern in the Bible and see how when the land becomes defiled, what defiles the land? God put these laws not just as a form of, like a little picture, but God gave these laws to express His righteousness in judgment, how He sees, how He acts, what He states that is necessary to fix this if it go wrong. You get me? Man today say, pull up some social program, pull up some rehabilitation program, build some centers, build some more schools, trying to get the youth off the street, put community centers. And they get all kind of social programs going to curb the violence, to cleanse the land, to rehabilitate the people. That don't do it. God has one way. That's by blood He cleanses the land. Blood defile it, blood have to cleanse it. Shed blood defile it, shed blood have to cleanse it. Is that right? The only thing without the blood of Jesus Christ, there's no way a man could be cleansed. Is that right? There's no way the earth could be cleansed. That's right. And atonement had to be made. Blood had to be shed. And remember, His dying wasn't just blood being shed. This was sin being transferred upon Him. His death was due to a righteous sentence of God as an atonement for wrong that had been committed. So pardon can be applied. Is that right? Well, the same way God cleanses a man, He cleanses a city, He cleanses a church, He cleanses a family, He cleanses the earth. Shouldn't that give hope for a person this morning whose sin, or who might be condemned, or who might be wondering, or who feel that they're condemned and they don't know what to do? Is that right? Because you see that even though it was not the earth was not defiled at one time, it was perfect, then it became defiled, then it was cleansed, and the defilement was removed. Is that right? And whatever judgment was due to people who was in the defiled place, they didn't have to fear the wrath of God that threatened them anymore. When sin is upon someone, or upon a city, or upon a home, the wrath of God threatens that person or that home or that city or that church. And unless they're not one with wisdom and understanding of God and what the blood of Jesus Christ, the message, because in this blood, in this sacrificial death of Christ, is the whole plan of God for man. God has nothing to do with man outside of Christ. And Christ is the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. And from like Israel, they were born in Egypt in bondage. To get them out of bondage, God killed a lamb. Is that right? Then they come to the Red Sea. And there was a type of the blood where the enemies that had them in bondage was drunk. First, the blood of the lamb moved their guilt. Then the powers that held them in captive, they were loose from it now at the Red Sea. Then in the wilderness, another stage of their life, they're not in bondage no more. They're not held captive no more. Like you, like me. Going to the wilderness, that a smitten rock. Is that right? That smitten rock was the same lamb. That living water from that smitten rock was just like the blood in the Red Sea too. It was Christ's death again. The lamb was slain because of sin. The Red Sea had a whole sea of blood to drown all the enemies because His blood was shed. A fountain was opened. Then here's a smitten rock. The rock was smitten again, typing Christ being slain again. Is that right? And that provided what? Refreshment. A power to journey. a power to keep on keeping on. You want to keep on keeping on? You feel you're fainting this morning? You feel Amalek on your case, trying to cut you off if you're weak? There's a power present. You only have to speak to the rock. There's ever-present water. Amen. If you can understand, there's an open word. The word has been broken open in this hour. And there's an anointing that has been released under that seventh seal. God bless you, my sister. Amen. Jesus says, yeah, standing back up, praising God. That's what we want to see. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Then you have, they had the brass serpent on the pole. And that's a serpent they meet on the journey. And that serpent was trying to make sure they didn't get to the promise. And that serpent was taking them to a grave. And that serpent represented the serpent in the fall. And that poison, that serpent was inside of them. And you feel bitten this morning? You feel the poison of the world working through you? You feel the enticements of the serpent has entrapped you? You feel the hypnotic spell of the serpent has captivated you? You feel that serpent has wrapped around you? And you just can't be loose from it? Then what did God do? God say, look at you. Look what you're going to do. I know what to do to you all. Well, they're a shepherd among them. Hallelujah. He's got a brass serpent and a pole. And he walk out there that Sunday morning and say, look and live. You know why? He was determined that brother, if he can help it, he's not leaving one hoof behind. He was going to say, you look and live. You believe my message. You look what I'm raising up before you. Amen. This is going to take care of your problem. Hallelujah! He's still the same! Glory be to God! He was determined to get his people moving. He knew that pillar of fire was going to take him to the promise. He knew that pillar of fire was going to possess every gate. He could look back and see what happened in Egypt, what happened in the Red Sea, what happened by the smitten rock. He knew he's still the same. He can take you forward. No matter what condition, sickness, dying, whatever it is. Look at that, but they have to look with faith. They can be scared and say, I wonder if it's right. You think it can really happen? As Moses lifted up the brass serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Amen. And whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And Revelation 1:10-7 is the revealing of the Son of Man who has been lifted up in this hour. Unveil the mighty God before you. And conquered by tradition. Man. Then they came to the Jordan. The last part before they entered the promise. But guilt couldn't, and condemnation couldn't hold them. They had come through that. They saw the Lamb did that for them. The powers that held them captive, that they tried to wriggle free from, and they couldn't wriggle free from, they saw that Red Sea drown every one of them. Man said, Moses said, today, in this Red Sea here, all them enemies. He said, you? He said, fear used to rule your life. Amen. Pretense used to dominate your life. He said, over here, you like worldly pleasure. That's to take a hold of you. Amen. He said, but today, all these things will be in this Red Sea. You can go dancing, rejoicing, free. That cannot hurt you if you can believe. If you are willing to walk forward in faith as the way, open up to you. This new and living way through the blood. Hallelujah. In the blood of Christ, my Lord. In the blood of Christ, my Lord. There is a victory. There is a victory. There is a victory. Yes, still is a victory. This morning there's a victory. My. Victory, victory, victory. Amen. This morning there's victory. My. Victory is mine. I told Satan, and you tell him, go. Get me behind. Victory is mine. Yes, sir. Can't you see the way opening? Can't you see the world opening? Walk forward by faith. Let that Red Sea take care of them devils that try to come and make a second claim. Glory! You don't have to fight them with the Egyptians. You only have to walk in the way that is open. The Red Sea take care of them. There's power in the blood. Wonder working power to take care of them. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Would your evil of victory win? Mine. Glory. Then, you hold a little bit here. I'm pausing a bit of scripture reading. Have an interval, give me a bit of scripture reading here. Glory. Yes, sir. And when they came to the last part, they entered the Canaan, the Holy Ghost. They had all them deliverances. I've seen my guilt gone. I've seen the enemies that held me in captive in the world. I can't find where the gambling spirit gone. You know where yours gone, Sam? We used to play whole night. Until morning break. All I can say is drunk in the Red Sea, brother. That's all I can say. Gone. In the sea of God, forgetfulness. That's good enough for me. Praise God. My devils are gone. My saints are gone. My. I see that serpent when I met him with all his wiles and his cunning craftiness. And I meet him there in the wilderness of sin. But I could have kept looking at the serpent, but my eyes saw a shepherd prophet who was commissioned, amen, by a pillar of fire and given two signs to confirm his commission. Hallelujah! Brother who could bring the hidden secrets of the right hand out of the bosom of God. Hallelujah! I saw such a prophet. I saw one saying, the seventh angel is not the Son of Man, but he's sent to reveal the Son of Man. And the mighty God is unveiled before you, high and lifted up. Man, God took care of all them serpents in the wilderness of sin for me. Amen. This come and this doctrine, that doctrine. I say, you go with your doctrine, amen. I saw the prophet, amen. God made him God to the people. I don't need another man after him. Amen. God made him God to the people. Yes, sir. Man. Woo. Then it came. They're entering the land. Then it came not just to be delivered from devils now. It came now, when I go in that land, I am fighting devils. I'll be chasing devils. When I was coming into Egypt, devils was chasing me. Snakes was trying to bite me. Thirst was trying to kill me. But when I go in that land, brother, a way opening up and I get inside of you. Yeah! Hallelujah! Then I will be the devil chaser. And one will put 1,000 to flight. Two shall put 10,000. Oh, my, in that land. In that land, there's a ministry that don't buckle and get fearful. There's a ministry that says, come near and put your foot on the neck of these chains. For thus shall the Lord do to all the enemies against whom you fight. I am so glad to be under a ministry that have that voice, amen. That don't talk negative talk,
that knows the position, knows the authority, anointed and commissioned, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Oh, hallelujah. Who knows to do all that Moses said?
My. Put some order in the church. Let the Levites go with the ark. Let the people keep the distance. Let them come in rank and file. Let men go in the water and bring out them stones, the memorial from the bottom of Jordan. Put it in Gilgal, amen. Bring the sharp knife for circumcision. Hallelujah! Bring back the mystery of the Passover again. The same Passover that started them in Egypt came back when they entered the land. Glory! My. They walked in the world. Friends, God is moving you from where you were born in bondage, trapped, oppressed, looking, crying for deliverance in the world, seeing all your sinfulness, shame of yourself, trying to cover it up before the world, the prying eyes of the world, in fashion, in pretense, in education, but down in your heart, you know, you're a rotten, ugly, hideous, deformed sinner. Amen. But one day, you heard a message of the slain lamb. You heard about the power of the blood. Hallelujah! Glory! You heard about you who are defiled can be cleansed by blood to bring God back, amen, on the scene, that there's no barrier. You heard that kind of message. That you heard a message, you will not be struggling with the old life no more. You heard a message about a new birth and a new life and a new power and being raised up into a new place where old things pass away. Can I get a witness? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. May he give you an unction to function this morning. May some of you weak, some of you falling at the wayside, some of you confused this morning, some of you fighting your devils and you can't see victory. May through the blood you see a clear way this morning. May he anoint your eyes with that blood and you see some reality in the house of God. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Man. The age of Inquisition. You watch and see. When they thought they killed Stephen, things start to rise in the church. Brother, when they thought they killed Jesus, power was let loose in the church. Hallelujah! Oh, thank you, Jesus. In the age of martyrdom, when they thought they were going to drive them back in the catacombs, they walk out in the arenas, amen, with that ox anointing, and they lay down their lives and love not their lives even unto death. It has inquisition on a global level coming, where men sit in councils and plan the destruction of a people, and have inquisition on an individual level, where men could sit in a room and plan your demise. But when the time is at hand, when you're in a day, when you're in an hour, you're going to see from the spirit of the age. And I'm talking here from a far place, a deep place, a place you don't sit down the barnyard and see, a place you're a fly, a place you have anointed eyes, a place you have to look into a prophetic vision to recognize that you are part of a prophetic bride with a prophetic anointing, eagle anointing in the eagle. Fly with God eagles. Flying where no age ever flew before. You may say it's to come. Elisha and them was anointed long before Jehu and them. Anybody see Jehu and them being anointed now? I already have heard a message, anointed and with the robe. One who knows how to ply the word for the bitter water.
for the dead in the pot. Amen. Glory be to God in the highest.
Yes, sir. Glory. My. Walking with God in a certain place. Traveling with thus saith the Lord. Traveling with the word. Traveling with the anointing. You're traveling with the anointing? Or you're traveling in the flesh, confused? Well, I think I believe the message. Well, I fully understand what's going on. You know, I ain't read that book yet. I surrender to Jesus. And all things are under my feet. That's the key. Hey, how many books I read, friend? How much I surrender? A man fully surrenders. Omnipotent. If I read one book and surrender, you can listen to them 158 texts and they surrender. Who surrender? That's the key, friends. It's not a university with academic learning and these. No, sir. This is the university in the wilderness. Where God break the will of man and just say, not my will, but thou will be done. So he can have the preeminence, the oversight, and the leading. That's what he wants. Then, because the thing is, it's not going to be by might or by power, but by his spirit. It's not going to be of man, it's going to be of God. Yes, sir. Let's take our next reading now. That's a good little interval there. You just see how the word has fire in it. You have fire in your heart and the word, fire in the word, when them two fires get together, something happens. Deuteronomy 21, verse 1 to 9. Come back to the same thought again about innocent blood being shed. My subject is the re-entering into the depth of Satan and the return of an age of apostasy. And notice how I said the re-entering into the depth of Satan. The church was in the depth of Satan. Under the third seal, anointing was loose, and men came and fought that thing. But before that span of that third seal could run out, the ecumenical move rose and gathered all who came out back in and take them right back to church joining, until in this age when the prophet came, nobody had the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Nobody knew it. Nobody understood the new birth. But they understood church joining. They understood the name on a church book. They say, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Methodist. That's how they understood Christianity. They didn't understand seeing what part of the world you are. What part of the mystery is being interpreted in your life. They didn't know that. That's the depth of Satan. The depth of Satan replaces the new birth with church joining. It replaces a man with a baptism of the Holy Ghost catching the mystery for his age with a man in Bible school. Learning replaces revelation. Reasoning replaces faith. Program replaces spontaneous praise of the Holy Ghost. Then what you get in? The depth of Satan. Because the depth of God, they had revelation. They had faith. That spontaneous praise. But Nicolaitanism, Balaamism, and the doctrine of Jezebel, take that away from them and give them reasoning, program, and learning. That's what it gives them. You want that? You don't want that at all. That's death. That's the fruit from the tree of death. That's Cain, this man-made religion. I'm so glad this place is called Abel Country. But if you were called Cain Country, I ain't coming here at all. And when I look around and I see the tillers of the soil making all the bricks to build the cities, and here called Abel Country in the midst of the tillers of the soil, a shepherd with sheep, I'm thankful for that by the grace of God. Another Abel with a bloody lamb. The hymn writer said it. Amen. I believe she was inspired. Glory, we have it over the door right there. Abel with fire on the altar. That's right. An eagle right at his side there. Yes, sir. I believe the sculptor was inspired too. They put it in testimony. Israel put stones. Israel put, but the Egyptians had hieroglyphics. The North American Indians, temple, marking their history.
Israel had candlestick and cherubim and brass altar and these mark in the airs. Prophet had Sabino Canyon and Sword Mountain and White Dove and these mark in his. I believe these things follow scriptural people. I believe it's in the family. Tell me, it's in the family. It's in the DNA.
Deuteronomy. No, I'm getting happy, but I'll close up just now. Just read the scripture and close. Go, we have all day. We have to try to use the weather to get this whole place organized and quite a few tents to put up on the hill and run wires to connect up everything and make sure all the monitors will be working, test out everything this evening. To be here early in the morning. And one brother from away who had called last night, he said, this is almost like he had heard that, when the funeral was going to be here, so he called me. He said, this is almost like the whole nation, a cross section of representing the whole nation. He said, God, don't do things. Oh my God, help us. Put a word in our mouth. Brother, put us in humility with action and reverence. My, see something real, that the fragrance of the room is shallow. With young people. Oh, that brother was bringing that out of the Bible dictionary the other night. That fragrance stayed for about 100 years sometimes, and made the rest of their lives, whenever they get quiet, they say, I went to a place, there was something there, unusual. If ever I was close to heaven, I felt a walk, like Jacob. So that was the gate to heaven. May you be anointed with that perfume, and may you create that atmosphere and release that fragrance by the grace of God. May this word, who is the root of Shalom himself, show butter be crushed and that anointing move into your heart this morning. Think of it. I might just be able to read it and close. If one be found slain in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it, lying in the field, and it be not known who hath slain him. A murder is taking place. Because it says slain, found slain. And they don't know. Because what? The person slain. They find the person. Then the elders and thy judges shall come forth, and they shall measure unto the cities which are round about him that is slain. You see the Bible? Oh, I love this Bible. Let me give you a key. I just check and see right here. Shed blood. Slain. Take peace from the earth. Go right back to Abel, the first one. Slay. What for? Religious disturbance. You see something? You said the seal is in Revelation. No, the seal is in Genesis through the Bible. You find shed blood where it starts, it goes all the way to that second seal. And then who killed by the sword? Revelation 19 will be killed by the sword that comes out of his mouth. When you revenge the blood and give them blood to drink at the end. Is that right? And Revelation 19, before the millennium, they rejoice. Thou hast avenged the blood of thy prophets. Because there's a system that is craving blood. Long time she didn't get blood. She feeds on blood, the vampire. That's why the earth is filled with violence. His father was a liar and a murderer from the beginning. Jesus said. That's why you see the blood of the righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, the son of Barakiah, who was slain in the porch and the altar. When I was up there the other night, I says, look, he was slain between his gate and his porch. So you don't understand what I'm saying. And then I quote the scripture. The Bible is so precise to say where this man was slain. Between here and there, he was slain right there. Here, when a man is slain, watch the judges. You don't go and get this one and that one.
You get the elders and the judges. The elders themselves are judges. They're like magistrates to sit in the gate and judge the matters. There was anointed wisdom. The Old Testament cities was a type of the New Jerusalem. It was a type of how the tabernacle was set up. The tabernacle was a type of how Eden was in the Garden of Eden. Is that right? And when the elders come, the pastors, elder, bishop, local elder, I should talk to the elder, the type of the church. That's where judgment comes. And they come and they look at the crime. And they look at the place of the crime. And the slayer is not there, but the slain is there. The shed of blood is not there, but the blood is there. Then the elders, what are they going to do? They get their measuring rod. What is a measuring rod? That's a symbol of justice, of judgment. That have no emotion. A tape have no emotion. A tape, they say 3.5, and the next tape, they say 3.75. No. A tape, they say exactly what it is. You say, oh, God, you can't say 3.75 itself. The tape have no emotion. Tape is exact. That's a rule of law. It establishes what the thing is. And then they measure it. Why are they measuring it? Because what's something? When a man is slain, there's people in that locality that God is now going to bring responsible. You know something going to church, and you say it's your business, and you don't want to tell it. He said, if anything happened there, those people's blood is on your hand. He said, you say the past. He said, but no. The same in a sickness. He said, that's Bible law. That's not a good statement. That's Bible law. God is saying, when you are there, in other words, God ordered the steps of man. God fixed the movement of the sun. God fixed the movement of the sea. Establish the boundary how they move. Is that right? The course in which it moves. Even the stars in heaven and even man on the earth. God said God measured the boundary of the nations and everything else. Is that right? Yes. Deuteronomy. It's all there. So then watch something now. Where you live in God put you there. Anything happen in your community? Why? No man lighted a lamp, but he put it on a lampstand. Is that right? To do what? Give light to them that are in the house and outside. He fixed it, and that light have a range. That was in this church. Draw a circle around it. You always hear me talk like that. Draw a circle around it. So much radius and miles. I know what I'm talking about. That's Bible. God fixed these things in the earth. See? And then when that is there, then you become responsible. That's why something pushed me and pushed me and pushed me. Go out in the region. People can't understand that. But you started growing the knowledge of where God fixed your position in the earth. God fixed the stars in heaven. God fixed the trees on earth. God fixed the environment for fishes in the sea, for birds in the air, for certain animals in a certain habitat where they could survive. Is that right? Everything has its habitation. Everything has its estate. Everything has its boundary. Learn to watch these things in your life. Don't go and play crazy and then try to make it a science and every day try to train it or not. But learn these principles. So God moved you here for a season. Why did God move me here for a season? He said, no, I want to come. I want to do it. No. Even though you wanted to, God put a desire in your heart. And then God make a way for it to happen. Because he ruled after all things after the counsel of his own will. He make you desire it because he wants you to be there. Because it has something to benefit you there. So he put a desire in you. To desire, like he put a desire in Abraham for the son. If God put the desire for the son, because God's plan is this through the son, the family of the earth is going to be blessed. So God put the desire in the man, and then God come back and fulfill the desire he put in the man. That's why when God put in you, there's a faith connected to it. When just your ambition without the will of God, then you're struggling in the mic and power to bring it to pass, get yourself entangled in the affairs of this life, and can't go on to fulfill what you're ordering to fulfill. But when God put it there, it brings a faith, you rise up. And you start to see the will of God. Because now is the will of God in your heart. You design the will of God. Amen? So God, they come and they draw this line and they circle the place, they measure it. And that blood that is shed become upon all these people. It is judicially imputed. By one man, Adam brought death on the whole race. Is that right? That's right. Righteousness came by one man. Is imputed. God imputes it to a man's posterity. God imputes it upon a nation. David sinned, and what happened? The whole kingdom come under judgment. Saul sinned, the whole kingdom come under judgment. Is that right? Achan sinned, the whole nation come under judgment. Is that right? Imputed. So God now draws and says, you living here, then all here have to come under, become defiled. You see how life on the earth is not that I put me to mind my own business, kind of mind my own business. The word says, don't be a busybody. But the word say, let your light shine that other men see your good works and glorify your Father's name. Is that right? Say, you are the salt of the earth. Salt is created thirst and contact. You should contact as much people as you could with your saltiness of the mystery of Christ in your life. Let your conversation be seasoned with salt. Get other people thirsty for what you have. Because we're in a dry and thirsty land. But there's a fountain open. Amen. There's a river. And the streams make glad the city of God. So where there's a blessing come, then all the people are blessed too. Is that right? Sure. The ways of God is beautiful. You see, when you start to know his ways, you start to know him. When you start to know him, you start to know to please him, how to relate to him. You start to be able to judge yourself and live more consciously under self-judgment because now you know what pleases God and what don't. Because now the word has been opened to you and the word is God. Then the elders, they shall measure. Measurement is a type of judgment. This is talking about him that is slain. And it shall be that the city which is next unto the slain man, even the elders of that city, shall take an heifer. Notice it can't be another city, eh? It can't be another locality. It has to be where this man is living. God put us as the bride in the Caribbean here. Let me tell you, things happen inside of here. We don't have a voice. They have to be elders in the place where God put them. God put us in this local assembly here. Have to be elders in here. That's the way it is. The city, next to the elders of that city shall take a heifer. If they don't know how to take a heifer, you think my elders have bloodshed, elders they know. This is guy heifer. Me not bloodshed and defilement come to the land. Elders don't know how to remove the defilement. You see how the position of these things, you have to catch the mystery of God. Can you see that? Without the mystery of God, you stumble around, you pray. You even know you pray. Pray all kind of prayer. Ask God to do things and remove things, and God will provide a way for it. Take an heifer which hath not been wrought with and which hath not drawn in the yoke. That heifer never get out there with no yoke, plow no field, under the burden of sin. The yoke is a yoke, like a type of yoke of sin. But this heifer never was defiled, never carried those load, never was a yoke heifer. It's typing Christ. It is going to be slain as an atonement. Blood has been shed in the land. Now a heifer blood is going to be shed. And the elders of that city shall bring them the heifer unto a rough valley, which is neither aired nor sown. In other words, That valley is in such a condition, the ground never been broken up. It never had no seed planted in that. It's a rough valley, a type of an unregenerate heart. Does the Bible say break up the fallow ground and plant the seed? Talk about the hearts of men. Did Jesus talk about the hearts of men like some fall to the wayside, some fall upon rocks? Is that right? When he's sowing the seed. Exactly right. But where there was good ground. What good ground mean? Prepared ground. Where the ground is broken up. Amen. Where it's prepared for the planting of the seed. Because that's the type of the heart of the unregenerate man that would kill someone in premeditated murder, cover up the sin and take off. Watch how they are dealing with this defilement in the land. And the priests, the sons of Levi, shall come near. Sorry. And the elders of the city shall bring them the heifer into a rough valley, which is neither in nor sown, and shall strike off the heifer's neck there in the valley. And the priests, the sons of Levi, shall come near. See, they have to go in the rough valley, and there they have to kill the heifer. We're in that rough place. And the priests, the sons of Levi, shall come near, for them the Lord thy God hath chosen to minister unto him and to bless in the name of the Lord. And by their word shall every controversy and every stroke be tried. My goodness. See the responsibility of these priests and elders? And the elders of that city that are next unto the slain man shall wash their hands over the heifer that is beheaded in the valley. They show their innocence. That's what Pilate tried to do in a hypocritical way, washing his hands. And they shall answer and say, our hands have not shed this blood, neither have our eyes seen it. You have to say that while they're washing their hands. Our hands have not shed this blood, neither have our eyes seen it. Be merciful, O Lord, unto thy people Israel, whom thou hast redeemed, and lay not innocent blood unto thy people of Israel charge, and their blood shall be forgiven them. Now, my brothers, my sisters, watch. So shall thou put away the guilt of innocent blood from among you when thou shalt do that which is right in the sight of the Lord. I'll tell you something, I'm going to close. I can't go on, I'll keep it long. I mean, we have to really make up a, you know, full privilege of having the people here, the helps that we have available, and the weather. But just let me kind of sum up a little, so you can grasp some of my thoughts. This is an inquest for the slain. Somebody has been slain, but the elders and judges is coming to investigate the matter. And then they are carrying out a judicial function of measuring the place. And then they are killing a heifer in a rough valley that have neither been sown nor aired. Aired means like when your wheat comes to its air. It's come to its grave, it's been garnered, you know, reaped. So, all of this, it's a function. Because it says, so shall thou cleanse a land that is defiled. That is why today, we have a country and every day in the paper, you read murder. Right now, I think they have about 140 homicide murders for the year. In the last couple of days, I was reading where they had the security guard, female, out there, 54-year-old woman, security guard, in the night. Man walk up in the night, pull out his gun, put it in her head, drag her in the bushes, rape her, and take off. Then in Claxton Bay, two men jump in the back window of a house, hold a father and mother at gunpoint. Two others went in the room, raped two young girls, 15 and 13 or something like that. Think of that. Then you have the triple murders. Then you have the slaying of our brother. All these things. Blood, 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 blood. Over throughout the land. Blood. Homicide with people who have been slain. This is not accident. Slay means not manslaughter neither. Like in self-defense, God separates manslaughter from premeditated murder. That's why he said, I will not justify the wicked. That's why I have like first degree, second degree. Now a court, catch this now, a court will come today in this type of society. You'll have policemen go out, they dust for prints, forensic, and so on, the character, the lab, they test it, they take statements, they do different things, they get the person arraigned, they put them in a cell, then they arrange, the magistrate arranges their trial and hearing, and then, you know, they decide whether it's high court or low court or what it's going to be, and, you know, how they'll proceed with the matter. But that is dealing with the person for the crime, but that's not dealing with the blood that defiled the land. So right away you see, there's one with atonement, and then there's the matter of measuring out and establishing guilt and responsibility. You have your state, this character's in function. You have the church, have another function. When God put a church in a community, put a church in a place, you have to understand that responsibility. That's why Brother Bram say, Jezebel didn't know Elijah was his pastor. Yeah, yeah. You know what that means? When he put that lamp there, it is to give light in a certain place. And that's why when the crime was committed, she and Ahab planned, conspired, killed, shed innocent blood, cover it up. God sent the pastor. God revealed to the angel in that place a word to go and make inquest for the slain. In Genesis, when Cain killed Abel, you get me? See, I'm throwing out some of these things. If I can't preach that tomorrow. It's not the type of service that could explain to people. 90% of people know what I'm talking about. People try to think you're making up things, but I'm trying to show you the word and the principle of the word and the unchanging God and why this world is to be judged. Because all that blood is there, and the church today don't have revelation how to cleanse it and how to apply the gospel. They don't know the ways of God. They're ignorant. They're programmed. They are bazaar, they are bongo game, they are soup suppers, they have all the different concepts. They know about applying the word. But the seven seals have opened and the mystery have come back. And through these things, we understand how Christ's death and his shed blood, which the gospel opens up the mystery of what it was shed for, how it is to be applied, what kind of cleansing it can bring, what kind of loosing from sin and guilt and condemnation to those who receive it. Then we understand how that word can be preached in a community and be cleansed and be applied and confession be made when people understand the jurisdiction in the service of God. That clear to you? You understand that? You realize the shallow way people live and walk? You realize what church life is? It's so out of the economy of God completely? When you just see what the Bible is? If Old Testament people have to do that with animal blood, can more New Testament people? Who is more able ministers of the New Testament? Who minister the ministry of condemnation, but minister the ministry of righteousness? Is that right? Whom is in the spirit and not the letter? Think of it. That's why you see a calling to preach the gospel. Isn't that like a man can make man ministers? But God has to come and reveal himself to people. This is God's inquisition. When God sends his inquisition, then one day, whatever is in darkness will come to light. So the slayer who conceals his identity and run and hide, that will be brought to light one day. Now catch where I'm going with this. Cain, under your first seal, the serpent deceived. Under your second seal, Cain killed Abel, the false vine, gonna kill the true vine. Cover up the crime and go along as usual. And God, knowing blood is shed, God come down in an inquest. And he comes straight to the slayer. He comes straight to the slayer blood. Where is thy brother? Where is thy brother? He said, am I thy brother's keeper? He said, thy brother blood cry out from the ground on for you. He was trying to hide that God was making inquisition for blood. You want me to scripture quick? Turn me to Psalms. Quickly. Psalms 9. Quick. I'm just going to drop that in and let you read it till you get you should talk. Psalms 9. Quickly. Verse 7. You see, Jezebel is going to make inquisition too. She's going to come and inquire and investigate the true churches and the people of God. She is going to try to prove them guilty of operating illegitimately according to the laws of the land and bring them under condemnation and sentence them to punishment, because she claims she's the true church and she's the only one who have right to interpret the word, and everybody else another interpretation is a heretic. But God of an inquisition too. Because remember, this woman who claiming that killed 68 million. But now the identity of the slayer has been revealed. Under the fourth seal, he reveals her. We know who she is. We know who killed her. Because one come and cover it. City on seven hills. Drunk with the blood of the saints and the martyrs. He identifying this age. Rip the mask off her. That woman Jezebel. Roman Catholic system. He said, come, I'll show the mystery of this hall. Is that right? Yeah. Under the 14, his name was Death and Hell Follower. And he named him, the same one who was riding with the sword, that nobody didn't know who he was. Is that right? Yeah. But the eagle revealed him. You know why? Because in this coming, it's not a lamb. It's a lion. It's not a kinsman redeemer, it's a kinsman avenger. His blood was shed, but now he's coming to revenge the blood of those of his who they shed. Psalms 9, verse 7. But the Lord shall endure forever. Just breaking right in David praise and prayer. He hath prepared his throne for judgment, and he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. David in the spirit of God in David, crying out, seeing God preparing his throne for judgment. How many know that there's a day appointed for judgment? How many know there's a day he's going to convene his court? How many know there's a day the judge is going to appear with a white wig? How many know he's going to open his book in a day and begin to judge? How many know that's this day? How many know we are told this is investigation judgment? How many know we are the only age who serve wig as judge? His inquisition has started. Their inquisition is going. Two inquisitions. Two inquisitors. Two inquests. Some have been killed by the sword. Blood have been shed. But they who kill by the sword, they will live in the captivity, shall go into captivity. Because strong is the Lord that judgeth her. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed. Make him your refuge this morning. A refuge in times of trouble. Make him your refuge this morning. Run into him. And they that know thy name, it's been revealed to us. It's not Baptist and Methodist. The Lord Jesus Christ, revealing the seven thunders. will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hath not forsaken them that seek thee. When you seek me with all your heart, he said, I'll be found of you. Sing praises to the Lord, which dwelleth in Zion. That's his bride, heavenly Jerusalem. Declare among the people his doings. He's descending. He opened the seven seals. He's here the white wing. Declare his doings. He's called the elected people. When he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them who shed blood. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble when there's been oppressed by the oppressor. When he maketh inquisition for blood, when he prepare his throne for judgment, when he will judge the world in righteousness, when he shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness, when he maketh inquisition for blood. Turn to Psalm 79. First is that inquisition for blood. Deuteronomy 21. He comes in the scene. That's why his message is into all the earth. That's why in this part of the city here, there's elders. There's people with the measuring rod. There's people with the mystery of the heifer. There's people who sees the land defiled by blood, shed blood. A psalm of Asaph. Oh God, the heathen are coming to thine inheritance. Thy holy temple have they defiled. They have laid Jerusalem in heaps. Here Asaph crying in the spirit. Just like David. Seeing Jerusalem destroyed. Seeing the temple defiled. The dead bodies of thy servants have they given to be meat unto the fowls of heaven. And the flesh of thy saints unto the beasts of the earth. Their blood have they shed like water round about Jerusalem, and there was none to bury them. Didn't it say under the fourth seal that they have been given power to kill 1/4 part of the earth with famine, pestilence, sword, beasts of the earth? How many know it says that? We went through that right here. Whoa, whoa, whoa! To the inhabitants of the earth, Revelation 8:13. And there was an angel flying in the midst of heaven. And that word angel is eagle. And that's the flying of this message revealing the mystery of the three woes. Whoa, whoa, whoa. To who? The inhabitants. 1/4 part of the earth will be killed. With sword, with pestilence, with famine, with the beasts of the earth. That is what he cried out. He's seen it in the end time. Asaph seen it in the end time. We are becoming a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and derision to them that are wronged about us. How long, Lord, will thou be angry forever? Shall thy jealousy burn like fire? Pour out thy wrath upon the heathen that have not known thee. He's crying out for the pouring out of the seven vials that is filled up with the wrath of God. That's the wrath of God. That's the judgment. Judgment couldn't take place until a prophet come and throw a rock up in the air and say, judgment has started in the earth. Turn the cloud. Show the supreme judge. The priest hand him the book. They take the second part, the day of vengeance. Then it's time for the wrath of God. Pour thy wrath upon the heathen who have not known thee, and upon the kingdom that have not called upon thy name. For they have devoured Jacob, they have laid waste his dwelling place. Oh, remember not against us former iniquities. Let thy tender mercy speedily prevent us, for we are brought very low. Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of thy name, and deliver us and purge away our sins for thy name's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is their God? Let him that be known among the heathen in our sight by the revenging of the blood of thy servants which is shed. Let him be known in our sight by what? The revenging of the blood of thy servants which is shed. Friends, I want to tell you something. to shed the blood of God's servants is not an easy thing. To plan and conspire, because the word said, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. And what you have done to the least of these little ones, you have done it unto me. For the angel, behold, the Father is in heaven. It needs be that offense must come. But woe unto them who the offenses come by. Let the sign of the prisoner come before thee according to the greatness of thy power. Preserve thou those that are appointed to die, and render unto our neighbors sevenfold. Pour thy wrath, render unto them sevenfold. Seven vials of the wrath of God. The fullness of judgment. When seven seals open this age, then seven vials will be poured out, because judgment follows light. Light is God's mercy coming to you. When God opened the truth, an angel catches the mystery. He brings light to the church. The revealed word. The people have light to walk in. When they turn on that word, what happened after? A plague falls and judgment follows. Is that right? Every age. I'm only using the scripture to unfold the plan of God, how God operates on a city level. He gives the law, and we see it in a nation, we see it in the world. And you are seeing how the world is filled with blood. You are seeing wars, and people say, we'll burn them back to the Stone Age. The other say, we'll blood the Trade Center and the Twin Towers. Who cleansing that blood? Who cleansing that land? Who taking a rod and drawing the line? Who have the gospel, the word for the age, that can loose and remove that guilt? Who making inquest for these things? God made inquest in the garden. God made inquest in the first age. In the second age, God come down. When he saw that age, he'd been drunk with the blood. He said, I'll kill Jezebel to death. He said, you hold fast till I come. I come quickly. Behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give to every man according to their works. David crowned. He prepared the throne for judgment when he made an inquisition for blood. This coming of the judge is for inquisition for blood. Because what is coming to, what are you judging them for? What are you going to judge Roman Catholic Church for? For the blood they shed. What are you going to bring seven vials of the earth for upon this generation? From the blood of Abel all the way to this last, it will be upon this generation. Didn't Jesus tell Jerusalem that? Oh, Jerusalem, from the righteous blood of Abel all the way to the blood of Zechariah shall be upon this generation. Did Titus come and destroy them? Does Ezekiel 9 repeat itself in the last days? Is the Holy Spirit sealing up the church before that death comes forth and it just come? Two inquisitions is a time of judgment. I'm saying all that to say this. Last week when I was preaching here about evil counsel in the church and the spirit of inquisition loose and sang that song, it's dripping with blood. After about 20 years, I was strange. And the Holy Spirit moved so strange. I was kind of confusing how this service just went. And then, you know, thinking of it and thinking of the messages God had been giving since September 11th. And then when that came and happened, and our brother was slain, and we were in that deacon's meeting that night, and we rushed up there. I got up next morning, and a message I preached years ago, I think it was in Barataria, it could be, maybe here, I can't remember. But I preached a message on inquisition for blood. The kinsman avenger, how the same one who is to redeem his people from slavery, like Abraham and Moses, redeem Lot from captivity. Moses redeemed him from slavery. Then a kinsman had to redeem the land, like Boaz redeemed the land, like Jeremiah redeemed the land. Then that kinsman had to marry his brother wife if the brother died and wife have no seed. And we see Boaz as a kinsman fulfill that. But the kinsman also had the exact vengeance. And so we see Moses destroying all Egypt. and drumming that whole army, and Abraham slaughtering all those kings that had put them in the captivity and caused the cries to come up before God. They had to come and exact vengeance upon them for the crimes that they did to the people. So you see the mystery of kinsman redeemership and kinsman avenger in the Bible, because he's lamb and lion. And Revelation 10, he comes as a lion. The lion that roared and seven thunders upon the voices. And he's revealed as the supreme judge in the white way. Because he prepared his throne for judgment. And now, the time we are in, that's why under this message was an indictment, a trial. What shall we do, Jesus called Christ? The blood is on your hand. You can't get away from this. He put upon the generation. Sold in prison, you've been found guilty. And under the six seals, he said, this generation will be cremated. The righteous will walk out of the ashes of the wicked. Third world cometh quickly, Armageddon will clean off the earth for the millennium. Why? Because it has started. And while they have refused all that, they are calling for secret military tribunals. And it was strange how our brother was killed December the 11th. When 3 months after September 11th, 17 nations in the world gathered together and had prayer remembering September the 11th. Now to me, it meant something to me, because since September 11th, every message I preach, from the result of American apostasy unto the evil counsel behind the White House throne, uncovering the hour, uncovering the prophecy, placing these things in the scriptures, and if you are have any light in your, or even halfway inspired, you can tell this has been one of the most phenomenal times in the last 20 years of this church. Right here in these last 3 months that went by, the way the Holy Spirit take the whole church and focus our attention on those and bring those messages that open the Bible and in these things that has happened in such a way that make us marvel. Then when that happened, after the service, it just... Now, you hear my prayer this morning before I start to preach. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know why I'm saying this, but I just feel I need to say all this. And put this right and leave it. I didn't know for what purpose. But the thing is, something happened. I could only say what come by inspiration. And so when that happened, you see, we declared something in 1977. And 1977, the 14th of May, I preached a message, Moving with God in Season. When Mary understood, how shall these things be? When the angel came to Mary and opened the mystery, so she could tell her the conception of the birth. Those who are in France Street will know that. Look what these things grow to today. Who would have think that this would have grown the world? Who would have think this would have opened up the hidden seal things in the message? Who would have think it would have bring the seven trumpets and tied the whole book of Revelation together? And show the preacher that told you under the sixth seal. Are you telling me if you ever hear anybody preach why the trumpets preach naturally under the sixth seal? To explain that. And what parts of the other language come back along? You tell me hear anybody clear. Now I'm not saying that because of me, I'm saying because of him. And to say these things, I have to say that to say this. And I say it all humility, because I myself confessing, I don't know the next step. But I'm just saying these things. And I'm not me who make up all the messages from September 11th. And I still have the anointing of Jehu, yeah. I can't even finish, you know, the last couple. And then while I'm preaching this, they're calling for that. And while they call for that, the Holy Spirit going to the world and say, look what this is, Inquisition. I thought I'd show you what it is. And here, when that happened, he died that night, then it struck me. I couldn't come out of this message, Inquisition for Blood. And I look at it and I said, well, I can't preach this in the funeral service. I'm going to preach this because This is going to take too long to break it down, to establish the laws and the principles of how these things are, to show the jurisdiction of God, to show where God set up his church in the earth, to show how under this message that inquisition is taking place, and to look around and who can say the land is not defiled by blood? Who can say we are more murders here? Maybe we are one of the highest nations and ratio in the world according to the size and population with the amount of killings and the kind of slaves in this nation. Crime is gone! And you tell me when last you saw in the history of this message in this country, where the message is most established in this island, in the whole Caribbean, where a minister has died like that. And put it all in your coincidence book if you don't have Revelation. But watch. When that happened, slave, man being slave, everything, you have to look at it. You see, that's the word. Anybody can read that scripture and they know what I preached on it this morning. But all these things that happen is something written in the word. This is a scripture about a man that was slain, a law God given, and the killer is not found. The killer ran. But the man slain and the shed blood is there. And God explains what slaying a person is. Then he had revenging the blood of his servants when he made an inquisition for blood. David in the Psalms seen a time is going to come. And I'm proving to you that that's this age. He has come and he's making inquisition for blood. I'm proving to you in Genesis he came when the first man was slain. In the New Testament, when Jesus was slain, it was the same thing. Peter come and he take the word. He said, you with wicked hands, you builders, reject the chief cornerstone. You kill and crucify the Prince of Life. Is that right? And he put the blame. Then Paul and they come afterwards and show how he said, behold, a day will come when I do a work, you'll marvel. And what showing them how the spirit of slumber come upon them from Psalm 69, how God will blot them out. And Israel turned from the God, and Titus was going to come to destroy them, and the city was going to be drenched in blood because he said, let his blood be upon us. And Abel was typing Christ, he was slain. When you come to the end of the Bible, where I'm going to preach on tomorrow, Antipas, my faithful martyr, who was slain because he holdeth fast my name and he has not denied my faith, is why he was slain. And I'm going to tell it right here in case anything goes different. You know why? Because he stood there, Revelation 18, in this season, the spirit of commerce and trade, where people stand to make hundreds of millions of dollars in this country, and God has somebody, a guardian of the gate of the country, standing there, because of his conviction in the word and knowing what the name of Jesus Christ is, and can't take a gift to be blind. And that spirit behind that trade and commerce and the land of traffic. You see what spirit that is? Revelation 18. Where he was slain because the Holy Spirit is with him. Friends, let me tell you, we are walking here in the world. Yeah. We are walking in the understanding of an hour that we have come to. The most I can do is preach. If I see something in the world, I try to tell you. I ask God for grace to try to bring it in a way to say, can this be right? Is this the scripture? Is this the hour? Is God the same? Does he still deal with us? Is the Bible applicable and relevant? Is all scripture really my inspiration? Is it profitable for doctrine? I'm asking these things. So you can see and say, oh, is church a minister preach something, hold his congregation, try to keep them interested, try to keep them absorbing things, try to keep them in a program, keep them controlled and regimented, and hope Jesus comes soon. I ain't that kind of minister. I ain't even a good one on the other side. I'm just like, just, and God not saying this in my heart, because I just want failure in my own life at times. I don't want to be that. Let me look at my standing and keep walking. If I look here, I fall all the time. But if I look here, I can walk out to this stage. I can behold that perfect image of myself and walk step by step and walk right into that. But if the devil can blind me to take my eyes off of what, how he sees me in Christ and make me look at my state here, then I struggle in my mind, I was trying to go good, I come back two steps, you know, I ain't doing what I ought to do, I can't go on here. I don't want to live there. I say, thank God for the blood. Lord, by faith I apply to my life and help me to walk closer to tomorrow than I did today. I die daily that Christ could live in me. Amen. I want to stand where I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I'll just quote it for you because I don't want to read no more. Revelation 16 and that 2 and 5. They rejoice and say, we thank God who give them blood to drink. Going to the 2 vial, water is turned to blood. Because they have been made drunk with the blood of your saints and your prophets. And Revelation 18, they rejoice, Babylon is fallen. And Revelation 19 also, and thou hast avenged us of the blood of thy prophets and of thy servants that they slew. In this under the 7 vials, he is making inquisition and gives a pulp thy wrath. Give it sevenfold, render sevenfold. And in Revelation 20 says, behold, I come quickly and my reward. In other words, they'll get their wages. What they sow, they're going to reap. They work for this. They refuse my word. They build their own religion. In the beginning of the Bible, first one asleep. In the middle of the Bible, first one asleep. At the end of the Bible, first one asleep. Abel, Jesus, Antipas, sleep. And the first one in the church, Stephen, sleep. Not die of old age, not die of poisoning, not get overweight, and fall down. Slain. Shed blood. Shed blood. Shedding of the blood of his servants. The world, the secular world, see the slain of a custom officer. The church sees the slain of a shepherd, anointed and commissioned shepherd, who was standing there as the light, as a lamp on a lampstand in a church, yes, under this message. Yes. And when it took me back to this message, in quest for the slain, the blood, the slain of the blood, I said, my goodness, somehow what happened on that service Sunday and what happened Tuesday, and what bring it back to this message, and then coming to speak some of this morning. Somehow, you know, Wednesday night I was here. I didn't want to be involved, but a son could testify. I said, I'd rather not preach the service. He said, somehow I feel like Sister Cindy is going to ask you to do it. I went up there. He said, I have one request in my heart, and please don't turn it down. He said, would you take me through one thing? He said, I hope you're going to be in the country. I said, sure. I said, I don't mind people. Then I had second thoughts. I had reservations. You know, I put my hand to you. I said, I'm not interested in it. He said, I'm not a person who likes to preach, you know. I don't want to be seen in that way. Because nothing. If I'm going to be moved aside, that people can be blessed, I prefer that. Rather than sometimes you stand there and you know this one grumpy, and they find you and they find you and they find the other. But you have to be faithful. And sometimes a servant of God, you call to walk in places and bear pressure and take insults and be spoken of and know you've been whispered about and everything else. And you have to break that somewhere and keep your eyes on Jesus Christ and be a servant to please your master. My only desire is that he be truly represented. And you're going to have all cross-section of people here. Tomorrow. They're going to have the media. You're going to have the ones in the media going to be here. I'm asking you, all those in the rooms, listen to me right now. All those in the outside, listen to me right now. All those in the sanctuary, listen to me right now. Don't appoint yourself to be a spokesman for the church. Please don't. Because you are not. In everything and every body of people, there is a spokesman. When media people may come and ask you things and you stand up there and you say things, you say the wrong things. You say the things you shouldn't say. Then that becomes publicized. Then that becomes a voice like from the church here. Then that goes out. Please. All you are called to do is to say, there's ministers there or there's deacons there. Talk to them. They will tell you who should speak. You know, this is not my place. I'm just here attending like this. Please don't go and try to be a spokesman on behalf of Phoenix Assembly tomorrow. Yes, if you speak as an individual, say, as an individual, you know, if that's where you go to church here, and from the time this is coming, let somebody from here say the church views and the message and this is, don't go there at all, that's not your place. You have leaders. Obey them that have the rule over you. You have people that God put to bring the word to you. Let they be the one who will speak, or they will know. Sometimes people ask loaded questions. And you know me and media, I don't like that at all. They are evil. The strongest tool the devil have right now is the media. And this church have been carried to the dirt by media already. And people who go talking to media. So please look. We had it in Koki, we had it in Bataria, and we had it here. So please, we don't want that at all. Remember, I told you yesterday, I'm representing the Sousa's family and the little flock assembly where he was pastor and father and husband. They're just using the facility. So this is really the Sousa's family funeral. And this is the little flock assembly funeral. They ask me to be a spokesman. Even I have to know my boundary. They ask me to say, see his wife and the family. See his brothers. I have to know my place. So I'm telling you, you know your place. You say, I have to know my place. Amen. Also, parking has been arranged. With Abel, head office over there. So all the saints who have cars and would like to park, parking has been made available for you at Abel's compound. Because the rest of the compound here would be for the family, the officials, and the assembly up there, and the visitors. So there's going to be a shuttle to shuttle you in, not going back out, because that'd be chaos when you have all the people going out. But if you want a ride, it's not really far to walk either. You can just stroll in. But there would be a shuttle available. There is going to be some security guards to help the flow of traffic and so on. And all of this is going to be taken up courtesy of Brother Steve. And they're going to have that there to keep things orderly and nice. And we are trusting by the grace of God, we can truly do these things in an honorable way, in a decent way, in a way that glorifies the message and lifts up the name of Jesus Christ, and that it in turn can be a blessing to the family and the church that we are given the responsibility to represent in this intimate and special occasion and sensitive occasion of the family. We handle it bad, we bring a shame on the family. We betray the confidence. We handle it properly, we bring glory and honor to the family and to the Lord Jesus Christ. And to the message. So let's cooperate as a church, a great church. We are here in the presence of God. We know we are walking in a time where things are happening. We are trying to catch what the Spirit is saying. This is your heart. I know many of you on another level, you have your problems, you have your areas, you have your pressures. I feel the Holy Spirit right here this morning. Just open a little outlet for some of you. Find a place to wash, to cleanse, to be loose, to rise up and be renewed in strength. I trust that you was able to get a hold of that breast and nurse this morning. And if we keep walking in these things, may God help us. It's a treacherous hour. Probably time to put a stabilizer in the ship. That's why I'm preaching, trying to keep you posted, trying to be sensitive. We had a nice night here, Friday night. Some nice little things in Philippians 2 to the church to be a servant. Take these things as real Bible teaching that enriches your heart and your life and establishes you and make you a real servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, a real ambassador for Him. And so may God bless us and bless our efforts for Him. Let's stand to our feet. We certainly want to do our best for Him. Try to be out early tomorrow, the Lord's willing. Please, you know, we have to be on time because we are the host. We have to be on time. As a matter of fact, I myself decided to stay up here from tonight and don't even go home. I didn't want a chance to tell them to leave home by me to the kiosk in the morning. Just to ensure that I don't end up somewhere in the road or this or betray the people on this momentous occasion, I decided to stay here. So I certainly want to do my best for them, that because Brother Carl was a minister, held the highest office in this life. A minister was slain because he stood up to powers big enough that would shake and move the biggest of people, but for what they believe in, they found him unmovable. And they couldn't touch him except God permitted it. The same way God let Abel's blood be shed, and Stephen's blood be shed, and Antipas' blood be shed, and Jesus' blood be shed. And then God make inquest for him. And then God put a responsibility. When people would value one that can bring eternal life, the people in a dying age, for a few dollars to buy a sneakers, to blow on some drugs or something, to spend on some worldly pleasure, that is going to be a heavy thing for us. But that's the kind of age we're living in. We see it and we understand the things that's happening. That's why we certainly, by God's grace, wants to move on. We have a water baptism, which I'm just informed of, so we're going to pray and just close this part of the series. Let's just bow our heads and pray. For I was born to be that dwelling place, a home for the presence of the Lord. So let my life not be separated unto thee. Destroying God's temple. Destroying His abiding place. But He make an inquisition in this hour. And they who are trying to make inquisition, they will know what it is to meet the true inquisitor. To see how He truly deals with the shed of blood. Separated all. Be what I was born. Oh, let's give our hands and see it one more time. For I was born. Confess that as your faith. I believe that, Father. Cleanse my life. Make me fit for your dwelling. Fill me with your presence, oh God. Repair the broken wall, take my life. Bring back the sweet incense of prayer, Lord. Take all the moldy bread and bring the bread fresh upon my table. My life.
Father, we bow our hearts in your great presence today. Sitting there, God, in your house under this heavenly atmosphere. And the Holy Spirit, Lord, taking the word of life, breaking it down to us, giving us understanding that we will not walk in ignorance, but the entrance of your word will bring light and illumination to our minds, lifting our thoughts on a higher level, Lord, where the mind of Christ can be in us. For you said your thoughts are higher than our thoughts and your ways are higher than our ways. But that we should let the mind of Christ be in us. Then, dear God, we can be about the Father's business. Because faith will see what you want done with the word. And faith will operate through that channel. Holy faith and holy works can go forth under the guiding influence of the Holy Spirit. Oh God, led into all truth, fulfilling the word, which is the secret of the message, to do the Father's business. Make it real to us, Lord. My brothers, my sisters today, fellow ministers, deacons and trustees, workers, heads and governments, visitors, strangers, we all gathered here before you. We look to you. We look to you, dear God, knowing that this great hour that is climaxing, this gross darkness on the earth and upon the people, this insanity of the mind age. Oh God, seeing the people being deformed in such a hideous condition. The cup of iniquity full and overflowing. Soon the slaughtered angels, Lord, will come in its fullness. We already see it in the earth. We already see it moving in parts of the earth, dear God. We see the earth rocking and shaking under months and months of bombs. See the lies being blown to pieces. You see hate and vengeance, disguise, in patriotism and fierce speeches. We see all kind of false causes being projected, Lord. But as we look at these things through the eyes of the vindicated prophecy, as the seven seals open and lift the veil off of the schemes of the enemy, we see, oh God, how diabolical, how cruel. A move that has taken place in the earth at this time, Father. A scheme to trap the world and to persecute your children. Dear God, you promise when it gets dark, you'll turn the light on. And truly we can say these last 3 months there's a man here, the chief engineer, who has turned the light on from the scriptures. Lord God, we can see clearly. Help us, oh God, to grasp these opportunities that you have put into our hands to prepare, to make ready, oh God. For it is written, they that were ready went in with the bridegroom. The bride had made herself ready. And these incoming storms of judgment that will shake the earth in the plagues, and the wrath of God will be poured out, and the destruction that will be multiplied in the earth after your church is taking a flight into the sky, the spirit of lawlessness, oh God, is pressing and is being let loose. Until we see a land drenched in blood. We see even the slain of the righteous blood. God, shelter us under your blood, Father. Let your word be applied
We know God, the nation is, and every nation is gone beyond redemption. But oh God, where the elect is and those that cry and sigh for the abominations being done round about, may the Holy Spirit find them and bring them to this great fountain, Father. They can be cleansed and they can enter into a life of rest and peace. And they can stand and live justified by your faith. May you grant it, Lord, justified by your blood, Lord. Set free, free from guilt. Receive the pardoning grace of this living word. We ask it, oh God. You know the names, Father. We apply it in this region today again. And we offer this prayer for those that have representation, those that only the Father can draw and will draw and promise to draw. Because you will lose none, you says. All that the Father had given will come. Bring them, oh God. Direct our paths. Lead them to the city of refuge, where we get under the shelter. Grant it, oh God. We commit all things into your hands. Lord, look down upon your children, the weak, the afflicted today. We thank you for our sister coming out. See her there looking so well, rising from her seat to the praise of God. Heal her up completely. May you give a long life. Oh God, may joy and laughter return to our home. You went through a little dark period, Father. But Lord, you know how these things are not necessary for us. Because the ragged, jagged lightning and the thunder and the crushing of the flower that brings forth the fragrance. You put us in ash heaps and give us a testing. We may rise with a new vision, a testimony of I know that my Redeemer liveth. Oh, may you grant it, Father. We pray tomorrow. We stand here and put our shoulders to the wheel with our brothers and sisters, the D'Souza family, to represent you, dear God. Lord, give us good weather. Lead and direct us. Pour out your grace richly among us. And Father, crown, Lord God, the life and ministry on this side of your servant. Lord God, as we come to pay our last respects and give tribute, dear God, knowing that for all these years that he served you faithfully and stood and died, oh God, with his conviction in his heart, Lord, we pray that your name will be magnified in all these things and that even hearts will be touched and souls will be drawn to you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. We continue on the baptism. Those who have to leave, dismiss them, take them in peace and safety as they go to their homes. The rest will have to stay and bear the burden, oh God, of getting this place ready. And everything that we put in place for the service tomorrow, no, it must be done this evening. We pray that your presence will be with us and you will lead us through all these activities, Father. That the Lord God can be done and everything, Father, can be pleasing unto you. Grant it, Lord. We thank you for all things in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless me. Have a seat. Do you know grace? Amazing grace. Brother Ken comes. Those who have to leave, God bless you. Be back for tomorrow. Want to be here early. 10 a.m. the service begins. You have to start in time. It's not like a local church service where we could wait on this one or wait on that one. It'd be, and then tomorrow being a public holiday, people will be taking their time off from their activities to attend to the funeral, and the family tried to have it as a morning funeral so it could be done, and people could have the rest of the day, and they wouldn't tire people and so on. And the funeral agency even did a great sacrifice for them in honor of our brother, because they don't normally do that tomorrow, and tomorrow is a religious holiday for the Muslim community, but seeing that the family, many people are away and different things. They're doing something special and private. And so you understand. So let's just rise up to the call, respond to the call of duty, and be there and give our best. And that's all God asks. Amen. Amazing grace. Do you know grace? No grace. Hallelujah. God bless you.
Amazing grace.